Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Oh my God, the news are amazing today. I can't believe what's happening. I can't believe this timeline. Tomorrow, I'll be on cable TV on TMZ. How does that happen? Why do they want me to go comment on the news on TMZ? I don't know what's the plan. I don't even know what they want to talk about. But of course, I have accepted. TMZ is an outlet that I actually respect out of the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is in all this bullshit, second-degree coverage of information that's already available elsewhere. But TMZ has always been sticking to a true journalistic room with true live events where they get into the subjects that truly matter, including drama a lot. And I love drama. I love when it's well done. I love when we expose on the public space the actual state of society through personal drama. So yeah, I'm totally in with TMZ. And yes, they did invite Ye many times, you know. They are at the front line of drama, exactly, DK Shadow. Now, I don't know what they want to talk about, but you know, they don't know either. It seems that whatever will be the news item tomorrow, I'll be waking up early, I'll be digging the news. So it's a many hours process, which is why I'll do a relatively short show tonight, because I told the guy, my time is always available to TMZ. I will always cancel anything I have on schedule for TMZ. I have a great respect for them. And this is not the kind of opportunity you say no to, even if cable news is cable TV is kind of ridiculous. I've not had cable TV for 15 years. But TMZ is also on the web. They have lives. They have all sorts of outlets. So it's like it's something you can't say no to. Stephen Robinson says, "Be prepared for a setup, Jeff." Well, actually, I will prepare for a high quality appearance in which whatever news item we decide to comment on, it's going to be fresh. It's going to be entertaining, interesting. That is the task that I have to do starting tomorrow morning. I'll wake up at 8 a.m. or something like this, and then I'll go through the feeds of news, and they will also tell me what they want to talk about, and we'll get to something. That's how you make good news production. You need a take, you need an angle, and I will give that to them. Now you say, is it a setup? Maybe they want to invite me because I'm a controversial guy. And maybe they want to, I don't know, put me a black guy in a trance and start dumping on me. But I don't have to prepare for this kind of stuff, because this kind of stuff is my aquarium. You want to swim in my aquarium? I'm ready to defend myself. No problem. I don't need to review the details of my whole life story to be able to defend it, you know? So I actually won't prepare for this eventuality, although it's something you have to expect with mainstream media. But somehow I don't expect it with TMZ. TMZ is a very human-oriented media. And the way, for example, they've welcomed Kanye, I think it was very honorable. Back in the days when they were doing interviews with him. Now, this is just an example of what gets you escalating the world if you work hard. I mean, I don't want to act like, oh my God, I thank God for this opportunity. But I mean, this is an example of how a guy with a small show and with Twitter clips, his clips end up having tens of thousands of views, hundreds of thousands of views on some of them. And eventually, the mainstream media is like, let's talk to this guy. That is my story. And it shows that it's absolutely feasible, even from a small show, to impact the world, to have people care about what you think. And that when you deliver something of quality that attracts eyes, that attracts attention on the modern internet, they will need to deal with you. I mean, we're all competing for the eyes of people. And if you can show that on that market you are valuable, you are better than the average leftist, you're going to attract more eyes, more thinking, more provocation of thought. Eventually, people will engage honestly with you. End of the line, Joel says, TMZ visits the North Pole to get the lockdown on Hollywood's latest obsession. Revolutionary phenotypes are in. I don't know if I'll have a chance to drop the revolutionary phenotype in, but yeah, I mean, that would be definitely one of the possibilities. We can talk about AI, and you know, there's always some news about AI every week, and so perhaps there will be some important news tomorrow about this. If not, you know, I'm one of the persons in the world who's most fit to comment on basically anything. But that's what I love about news. That's what I love about this show and everything I've been doing. I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow, but I know it can be good. I know that TMZ is a very competent team. I know that they approach journalists in the same way as I do. In a human perspective, in a truth-based perspective, in a let's produce what you see is what you get perspective, rather than, you know, writing off reality into a fiction. And that is so beautiful. I'm so happy. I don't know who will I be speaking to. Would it be the average intern, or will it be the great guy who's been interviewing Kanye, or the black guy who's often a co-host? I have no idea. But whatever happens, it will be fun. This is what I like. Spindly Opinion says, do you think some TMZ employee saw a clip on Twitter? Yeah, Harvey Levin is his name. Yes, much respect for this guy. I mean, I didn't even remember his name on the off like this. But yeah, I mean, I love this guy. This guy has been maintaining a form of journalism that basically doesn't exist in America anymore. Somewhere in this weird space between Fox News, CNN, and Jerry Springer, you know? there is something absolutely artful in his performance. Chuck Garrity says, TMZ is raw and unfiltered. Exactly. And they are very much at the heart of publishing actual data, actual video from events. You know, very often the place you'll get a clip of a real event that happens is at TMZ. So to me, I have the highest respect, even if it may be weird to hear this, because I despise mainstream media and I despise cable TV. But I have the highest respect for them specifically. Aquanote says they might just use this as an opportunity to smear you, JF. If they do, I mean, I have no issues with this. I can surf on negative coverage and positive coverage. If you don't believe that of me after all those years, you don't understand my game. That is okay. They can try to dump on me if they want. I don't think it would be particularly interesting. I think the particularly interesting intellectual discussion where they respect what I have to say would be much more productive. And I, knowing their history, I would expect them to go in that interesting direction. T.S. Apostolos says, film yourself, JF, so they don't clip hijab your... No, I never film myself. I don't mind being smeared. TMZ, in my experience of them, they don't smear. They sometimes mock. They sometimes will bring you in the game and give you the opportunity to ridicule yourself. But I don't know that they smear. And even if I knew that I was walking into a trap, I would let it happen. To me, it doesn't matter. I'm that autistic that I don't care if 10 million people think I'm evil or bad or a rapist. I don't care all that much. I care about what I can do, in terms of using bad press or good press to elevate the subjects I want to bring attention to. Recently, the clip on Andrew Tate's brother yesterday has been super successful, as I expected. And maybe it's that clip that attracted their attention. Perhaps they want to talk about Andrew Tate and the criminal situation there. Perhaps we can talk about the cocaine in the White House or degeneracy in LA in general. I don't know. I'm really approaching this interview from a human perspective, and let's have fun with whatever happens. This is what's fun with my job again. It's you wake up in the morning, you have no idea where it's headed, and then you have a product at the end of the day somehow. And sometimes the product is not top because nothing happened during the day. But even a not top product, sometimes it's the best you can do in the news field. New guy says, Defenestrator says they will probably ask if JF would smash or pass Anna Kasparian. My position on this question has been public for many years. I would smash Anna Kasparian. Anna Kasparian is a special woman, you know, for a guy like me who's been, like, I don't know if people realize how much I've been on media. I've been fed media all my life. I've been literally listening to news and media on average 12 to 14 hours a day since I'm 8 years old. I would come back from school and I would be on TV until I slept, and I would leave TV on as I was going to sleep. I had a TV, these huge, super heavy TVs in my bedroom. All I wanted is to be constantly a stream of TV in my ears and listening and sometimes watching. And for someone like me, I mean, Anna Kasparian has been this beautiful young woman who was on TV, you know, from the days of the early TYT. And there is something extremely special about, you know, I spent a part of my teenage years just having Anna Kasparian in my bedroom as a TV appearance. So yes, it is a woman who I adore as a kind of crush of my teenage years. Big Tech Exodus says JF absorbs the news in his sleep. Stephen Robinson says, JF, I knew we had something in common. The news is so fantastic. I mean, look at the Bitcoin situation. That is the graph of Bitcoin from inception to today, animated in video. First halving, vroom, $120. Vroom, $800. Second halvening, vroom, $7,000, $16,000. Halvening again, vroom, peak at $60,000, peak at $65,000. And here we are. The halving hasn't even come yet. The vroom didn't come yet. So it is still perfectly fine to be buying Bitcoin. We haven't had the vroom. We haven't had even the yellow tick come in of the current halving. We are so early. And if you have Bitcoin right now, you should be laughing your ass off and you should be celebrating. You're going to be rich. Now the CEO of BlackRock, the biggest fund of investment in the history of human civilization, is shilling Bitcoin.
And also, I do believe the role of crypto is It's digitizing gold in many ways. It's instead of investing in gold as a hedge against inflation, a hedge against the onerous problems of any one country or the devaluation of your currency, whatever country you're in. Let's be clear. Bitcoin is an international asset. It's not based on any one currency. And so it can represent an asset that people can play as an alternative. I would call the foundation of BlackRock is about hope. You invest for retirement because you believe tomorrow is better than today. And also, I do believe the role of crypto is... It's digitizing gold in many ways.
Absolutely wonderful. This is going to be an even bigger halvening than last time. Isn't that fascinating? Now, this is one of these news items that I love. Somehow the Barbie movie has made a controversial political statement. China responds to Barbie movie featuring map that supports Beijing territory claims ruled illegal. China is dismissing the growing anger over the upcoming Barbie's movie's reported decision to feature a map that supports Beijing's controversial territorial claims. The summer blockbuster starring Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling is being released later this month, but is already being banned in Vietnam for apparently featuring a map showing China's claims to the South China Sea that many say includes the territory of other nations. When asked about the controversy during a press conference on Tuesday, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning was dismissive of Hanoi's outrage. China's position on the South China Sea issue is clear and consistent. Vietnam should not link the South China Sea issue with normal cultural exchange. So apparently, I guess they're happy about the map. And there it is. Margot Robbie in front of what could be the controversial map somehow. I have a hard time seeing exactly where the controversy is, but it's interesting. Interesting that Barbie, in its kind of absolute stupidity and nothingness, somehow is capable of triggering debate and controversy. Twitter refuses to pay for arbitration it forced on 891 ex-employees, a lawsuit says. Meanwhile, at least one Twitter ex-employee has won a rare settlement. We had been through this legal bizarrerie in the Owen Benjamin versus Patreon case. You know, Owen Benjamin had used a strategy where, since he got banned from Patreon, he had recommended that each individual donator who were living, I believe, in California, they had a right to sue Patreon for depriving them of the opportunity to give to Owen Benjamin. And they were doing so as individual arbitration. And when you do this, there is an arbitration fee that the company has to pay. And so if it's like $10,000, just paying this means, $10,000 for each of the individual complainant, and it may mean millions of dollars. And it's kind of what now the ex-employees of Twitter are pulling onto Elon Musk because they got laid off. They want to go into arbitration. And in fact, it is Twitter that has made it so that their only recourse is to go into arbitration. Very often you'll have the corporations doing this to kind of clash and kind of divide and conquer strategy. If you allow a class action lawsuit, this means that your employees can get together and get a big settlement altogether. They can pay for a big lawyer. if you divide, if you say you are bound, we will resolve any issues regarding work in arbitration. That means each individual employee is stuck to initiate his own case, and they might win or might lose, but it will be individual decisions. Now, the other side of the medal on this is that it leads to arbitration fees being forced onto the company. And it seems that the Judicial Arbitration and Mediation Service indicated that, yes, it is Twitter that has to pay arbitration according to the law. The employees cannot share, but Twitter is asking that they pay half of the fees. I don't think it's going to work in light of the law. In light of the law, it will be the onus will be on Twitter to pay those fees. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, probably the map contains the infamous 9-line. A dash line in the Barbie map had 8 dashes. Okay, so somehow it is those dashed lines that are problematic here. That kind of dash line. Okay, well, I mean, I don't have the geographic knowledge of the South China Sea to know how is this dashed line offensive. I'm not offended. I'm personally not offended at all by the new Barbie movie. Disney stock downgraded over streaming, theme park growth fears. Key bank analysts lowered Disney's rating from overweight to sector weight Wednesday, causing its stock price to fall. Yeah, I think that there's less and less hope for these brick and mortar, very heavy, like come and sweat with us type of entertainments. The world is going virtual. Our currency is going virtual. Bitcoin is the future. What do I care that you've accumulated pieces of metal that can give people rides and these enormous ugly costumes of Disney figures that are ugly and big? And I don't want to get to Disney and just for my family to witness a fight between low IQ populations that also have access to it. I don't want to go to Disney, simply. Defenestrator says, Jeff, would vigorous insemination melt Barbie's vagina? If we're talking about Margot Robbie, Margot Robbie is absolutely fit for insemination. She is a high-quality female. I believe that it would be absolutely insane for any male to forego an insemination attempt on Margot Robbie if you had the chance. End of the line. Joel says, Ken has no penis. That is true. That is true. I hadn't realized. So that means Margot Robbie must be on the lookout for true malehood. Justin Jim Kramer says, Instagram is really a terrific product and Twitter is awful. This guy is unbelievable. This guy always gets it wrong. This guy cannot even pay a lot of attention. He's going to be asked a question that is not even challenging by the host. He can't even keep a straight face on his fucking lie. Listen to this. This guy is lying. He's talking about Meta and Meta. You'll see the host will ask him, so if Meta is so awesome, I guess you're going to be full-time on Thread, on this new Twitter alternative that they're developing. You're going to give up Twitter. And he's like, well, you know, I'll still be on Twitter. Oh my God, this guy.
I don't think they thought of Twitter. But in that, I am being facetious. But I say game, set, Matt Zuckerberg. Because he's really learned his lesson. He is really understands that it does matter. That you want to be committed to the community. And Facebook Instagram is a really terrific product. And Twitter, is awful. And my kids were saying, like, why are you posting on Twitter? I said, well, it's free. I said, well, that's just great. The worst things in life are free.
Does that mean you're going to migrate? Are you going to move your content 100%. Delivery to Threads?
I'll put some Twitter in just because I like.
Absolutely. I will migrate. I mean, I'll still be putting some Twitter in because what, Jim Cramer? If the product is so superior, why aren't you full time on Thread and Instagram for your photos?
I'm a masochist who doesn't mind being hated, but that's been the way of my.
Okay, so he's going to stay on Twitter because he loves being hated.
Most of my life since fourth grade. I don't think they thought of Twitter.
All right. Well, this guy got just caught in a lie. He doesn't even believe in Thread. He's not going to be on Thread. Of course, he's going to be where everyone is to get the most original thinking, and that's Twitter. John Drake says he's going to migrate to the grave by the looks of him. I don't know. You think that he's due for death? You think he's been marked by death? I don't know. Russia, U.S. is complicit in a major drone attack on Moscow. I didn't see any video of this, but they claim that early Tuesday morning, they had to down 5 drones that attacked Moscow. These attacks would not be possible without the help provided to the Kiev regime by the U.S. and its NATO allies. The ministry added that the U.S. and NATO were training drone operators and providing the necessary intelligence to commit such crimes. So we didn't get any news, any update on the supposed explosion of the Zaporizhia nuclear plant. How did that come out of my brain? Air plant. A nuclear plant, nuclear plant, that's probably what happened. The nuclear plant seems to be still standing. The warning of Moscow that it would happen on July 5th during the night, therefore that wouldn't be the morning night, it would be this night, the night that we are currently in. But will it happen at all? Was it just false information that Moscow was fed? Perhaps for PSYOP purposes. You could have a situation where American intelligence seeds false information so that Russia reaches wrong conclusions about Kiev wanting to blow the nuclear plant. And then they're like, oh, well, look, your prediction didn't happen. That's possible. It's also possible that the nuclear plant will blow up during the night and that tomorrow we can talk about this. I have no idea. But anyways, there seems to be also drone attacks. That looks like the overexcitation of Kiev, which is desperate into trying to demonstrate that they are doing a counteroffensive. Well, your drones have been neutralized. Your little civil war that you were hoping for by Prigozhin didn't turn out to be. Your pushback on the front line is barely existent at all. The progression of Bakhmut doesn't seem to have advanced to the advantage of Ukraine. So we have nothing to deliver here. For all these billions of dollars that were sent to the Kiev regime, we have literally nothing that they can brag about to make the case that they made progression. And on top of it, I'm trying to look for the video I had. I mean, it's absolutely offensive. Zelensky is saying his plan. He wants U.S. youth, U.S. males, to go die for him on the front lines.
The U.S. will have to send their sons and daughters exactly the same way as we are sending their sons and daughters to war, and they will have to fight.
No. How about no?
because it's nature that we're talking about, and they will be dying, God forbid, because it's a horrible thing. The U.S.
This guy expects that not only are we funding this whole cokehead lifestyle of him in Ukraine, I'm taking the cokehead from Defenestrator in the chat. He wants us to fund this whole lifestyle of his whole international accumulation of money for which he has nothing to show. But he also wants us to send our children. This is becoming more and more like Israel. We have a new Israel here. Somehow our best ally in the Eastern Europe is now Ukraine, and we have to go die for them. Fuck this proposition, I reject it. The news around the White House cocaine bag found develops in exactly the way you would predict if you were just a rational thinker, just making 1, 2, 3, it's probably Hunter. White House cocaine culprit unlikely to be found, according to a law enforcement official. And the meme is, I didn't see that coming. Wow. You're telling me that you know everything about what you know everything about what happens everywhere. You know, for example, that the Russians have added explosives on a nuclear plant on the other side of the world. You can view this intelligence with hidden cameras, satellites. You have cameras throughout the White House, microphones everywhere. I mean, you literally have every inch of the White House covered by a camera. But somehow you're unlikely to find who brought this cocaine in the White House. And what do we learn? Secret Service confirms that cocaine was found in West Wing phone cubby hours after Hunter Biden visit. So we learned that when Hunter Biden showed up on camera, that was just a few hours after the bag of cocaine was found in the West Wing, where guests and visitors like Hunter Biden would be. And people are pointing out there appears to be a sniffing here that he does while hiding away from the camera. I cannot guarantee that he's sniffing a little, what do they call it in the cocaine world? A bump of cocaine. So a bump would be, I presume, a small portion of cocaine that you use just to increase your stay, just to go back to being drugged on cocaine. It's as opposed to a line, I guess. A line would be you get the full cocaine in and it's the max dose. A bump would be a small fixing dose that you have to do in a kind of hidden way because there are cameras. Let's have a look at this. Let's replay this. Okay, so he makes a move with his elbow. He touches his hair in a kind. This is what people typically do when they want to make it look like they're doing something to get the attention, the visual attention of people away. So let's review this. From behind, Jill Biden turns away, places his hair, but while he places his hair with the left hand, he does something with his right hand that we cannot see because of Jill. And Jill is looking at the sky saying, oh my God, do I have a... I have to be here smiling while my son-in-law is making cocaine in my back. And you can see you can see a constriction of the head forward, which would be typical as someone tries to bring his head toward a snorting object. Is there something happening in the back here? We can't see. But then we have him coming out, and he appears to be still holding his right hand at his nose, probably sniffing out or sniffing in any remainder. And like a prestige magician trick, his left hand is taking back position. The left hand was the diversion. The right hand had the cocaine, if that is a bump of cocaine. And as he gets out of the back of Jill Biden, he is snorting and sniffing and packing in, apparently, with his second finger, the index finger, in the direction of the nose. Let's replay so that you see the snorting action once he gets in the visual field. So there was some sniffing, maybe some cleaning of the sides of cocaine. Maybe when you snort in, there's some powdery substance left on your that you have to clean out like this. I don't know, because I'm not a drug consumer. But yeah, people are speculating. I wouldn't say that it's certain that what we're seeing here is cocaine consumption. But it makes sense. It makes sense. Hunter Biden has been addicted to cocaine back in his military days, got kicked out of the army for cocaine addiction, then was for many years with prostitutes smoking crack cocaine and snorting cocaine. And now there's cocaine that has been found hours before he would appear on this very camera. And there's a whole bag of cocaine for which they say it's very hard to find who brought it to the White House. And he was exactly in that place where the bag of cocaine was found. And there he is, sniffing in a kind of prestigial magician way, trying to get the attention away from his sniffing. All of this points toward a possibility that what we're seeing is just a cocaine addict, you know? That you don't need to be, as Zero Hedge was pointing out. Now this case is attracting the greatest criminal investigation mind. You don't need to be a great criminal investigation mind to reach the conclusion that there is a very high likelihood that Hunter Biden is still a cocaine addict, as he's always been. And anyways, you know, he probably has so much money from this bribery scheme with his father. It's kind of doable to stop cocaine if you're poor. But when you have that much money, can you imagine? I mean, you get fixed, you get into rehab, but now you're back in your life and you have infinite amounts of money. You can buy literally however many bags of cocaine you want. That is Hunter Biden's situation. Dr. Jordan B. Peterson had one of his videos deleted from YouTube. We have reviewed your appeal for the following: Trance, When Ideology Meets Reality, an interview with Ellen Joyce. We reviewed your content carefully. It violates our hate speech policy. Jordan says, YouTube justifies its utterly inexcusable, pernicious, invisible, self-righteous, and counterproductive censorship. Hey, peasants, your woke corporate overlords think you're too stupid to separate wheat from chaff yourselves. Yes, that's been the situation. That's why I'm out of YouTube. I'm glad to see that I'm sparing myself all this trouble, so that I can speak freely on other platforms. And with Twitter video rising, there's just no reason to be dependent on YouTube anymore. So I would suggest that if Jordan wants to wants to continue. He just has to give up YouTube, wants to continue talking about these subjects. Free yourself, Jordan, and attract more people to these alternative platforms. Watcher Guru says Twitter receives first three money transmitter licenses for payment services in the US. Yes, that is absolutely awesome. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is a mouse in the studio. I don't know how to react to this. She came from exactly the hole that I had patched. I guess I'm just going to let that mouse be. I mean, I'm not going to kill a mouse live or something. In fact, back in the days I had patched this hole, we had captured the mouse and released it into the wild, alive. Wow, I saw her go back to the little hole, but the hole that I had patched, I can see that she dig herself a hole into it. My God. I was like, my visual attention was like, there's something moving there. Yeah, there is a mouse. I don't want to scare her too much. I see her right now. She's kind of hanging out around the hole that she dug into my patch. Well, I don't find mouse offensive or anything. The reality is the problem is Mama JF is an accumulator of food. I mean, literally, she's accumulated food in this house for like 25 years. She's like these preppers and stuff. Now, if you have that much food, there's going to be a bag somewhere where the mouse can dig her way through. But in Papa JF mode, I don't accumulate that much food. And if I accumulate something, it's going to be something that is extremely inaccessible and to the mouse, like flour in a strong bag that the mouse can't pierce. But yeah, so it seems that the mouse is back in the studio. We had it was about 3 years ago when I had captured one. Fleur de Sel says you might want to put some steel wool before the patch. I guess that scares away the mouse. I mean, I had patched this with a very loose polyurethane patch, so it's something that if a mouse wants to chew it, the mouse can. Not surprising that she's coming back in the summer like this. It is the time at which there's more mouse activity, and I guess that during the winter they must be choosing a spot and just surviving there. In the summer, they feel more emboldened. Bird Flu says, mice make for fun little genetics tracking experiments. We had a mouse room in GR12 bio. I tried to get a recessive long hair trait to appear. Okay. I'm not going to do that. I don't feel comfortable doing this. But anyways, the news about Twitter becoming a payment platform. This will be insane. Perhaps in a couple of years from now, Twitter will just be the main way you can buy Bitcoin. Can you believe this? Like, you have a 0.2% fee on Bitcoin. You can get into Bitcoin as easy as installing Twitter on your phone. That would be absolutely insane. DK Shadow says it's mating season. Aquanote says, JF, just get a bucket with water with a string on top and an empty can covered with some peanut butter will kill all mice overnight. I don't want to kill mice. I have plenty of live mouse traps. It's scary because I keep looking to see if it's still there. I think it's gone. I think it went back into the hole that she came from. But she has successfully opened that hole. Maybe she's done it right now. Maybe that was the moment she drilled that opening right there. Nicholas Petris says, live traps, freaking righteous. Yeah, I mean, I don't have hostility to the mouse, you know. She's trying to live her life. I'm here accumulating ridiculous amounts of calories, like all available for a mammal. I don't blame her for coming here to steal some of it. Stray's channel says it will piss and shit everywhere between that hole and food. Well, right away after this show, I will patch this so that I'm ready for my TMZ appearance tomorrow. I don't want a mouse to attack me live while I'm on cable TV. So what I'll do is right away after the show ends, I'll go patch that hole again, maybe with something more solid. Maybe I can try plastic wood or something like this. That way the mouse will be stuck outside. JF can put a tiny diaper on her. There are not big chances that I would do this. All right, this should be in every Tristan comment section, laughing my ass off, y'all kill me. This is a representation of Tristan Tate. Nick is an incel. No, of course he talks about Jews all the time. I'm too busy taking beautiful women on dates. And of course a reference to The Matrix, to the very guy who chose to live inside The Matrix. He's aware that the steak he's eating is not a true steak, but he has chosen the illusion consciously. That is kind of the position in which Tate has put himself, trying not to engage on the Jewish question. U.S. Navy thwarts Iranian attempt to seize two oil tankers after shots fired. Yeah, when they tell the story like this, it's like, okay, they're trying to develop a hostility toward Iran, and it's probably linked to everything we're seeing. It's probably linked to the whole Ukraine tension with Russia, Taiwan tension with China, and Iran. So you have the whole axis, the new axis of evil. Because back in George Bush days, the axis of evil was like Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, that kind of country. Now they're trying to develop a whole team of, there's a new axis of evil, and it's Russia, Iran, China. That is the American government setting up for war. Breaking, former President Donald Trump's classified documents case likely to be dismissed due to DOJ misconduct, according to new reports. I think it's very speculative. You know, sometimes a judge will take issue. The event is that apparently one of the DOJ prosecutors would have made kind of a veiled threat in the, like, if you don't succeed at getting me this witness, it's not looking good for your judge. Not looking good for you for us. He would have said something along those lines. And it was basically a suggestion that political power could be leveraged to give a judge position to someone or not give it. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's going to be taken as such prosecutorial misconduct that it justifies a complete undoing of the case. Perhaps. I wish that we were in a society that looks for clean prosecutor conduct. Unfortunately, very often it's very arbitrary and it will depend on the judge and what the judge wants to do with this. Let's talk about Anna Kasparian. That's the event I was covering on my thumbnail. Anna Kasparian is basically a 2010s conservative now. She tweeted something that somehow this tweet has caused a big reaction in the left. They hate her for it. She said in response to Riley Gaines, you know, this sportswoman who complains about the fact that she has to compete with trans people, basically compete with males in the women's category. She's been a speaker on various campuses, and she's often been targeted with protest that keeps her from speaking her mind. So it's a violation of her right to speak, but specifically in the latest case, she was imprisoned. She was kidnapped inside the room she was supposed to speak in, and the protesters closed her in a way that left no escape. Now, to me, that is, and I've been warning the left and I've been warning the right about this, I consider that there's way too many kidnappings that are being tolerated. Restrictions of someone's ability to leave should be prosecuted. You know, when these crowds get around cars, this should all be prosecuted as kidnapping. They should all go to jail for 15 years, as far as I'm concerned. If you let this happen, the mobs think that they're emboldened. They think they can always do this and that they can always argue, oh, well, I didn't know she was imprisoned. I was just protesting. To me, it's very clear when you block an entry and an exit, you are kidnapping someone. And Anna Kasparian here is simply agreeing with this position that I just expressed, that kidnapping is bad, okay? She says the civil rights movement did not use the same strategies as the trans movement. They didn't barricade speakers they disagreed with in a classroom for 3 hours. They persuaded through nonviolence and showing America their humanity. So that is Anna Kasparian saying, hey, you guys are a totally different breed of civil rights activists. The old civil rights activists, they were respectful of this kind of liberty. DK Shadow says she's wrong on history. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm sure you could find in the old feminist, wasn't this a feminist who was putting bombs? There was terrorism in the civil rights movement. So she may be generally wrong on the past, but her position is merely that we shouldn't kidnap people. And look at the reaction of the leftist on Twitter.
Some folks have an issue with Representative Jeffries, along with the representative of Massachusetts and the representative of California, which all of them are not the typical white men, white leftist men that they dreamed of, or the progressive fever dream. These white leftists, including Anna Kasparian, who needs a makeover, and Cenk Uygur, who...
If Anna Kasparian needs a makeover, where does that place you on the beauty scale?
Who needs to lay off the donuts? Yes, I'm going there.
Are you fucking serious? Is this a fat woman saying that Cenk should lay off the donuts?
Had a lot to say about Hakeem Jeffries, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, saying he's a corporate shill, a corporate Democrat. I find that term to be very dirty. And they use it mostly for a lot of black politicians, because every time when Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian talk about corporate Democrats, they always refer to black elected officials. They refer to the vice president when she was a senator. They refer to a couple.
It's getting long. I thought she would. I mean, I thought she was commenting on Anna Kasparian for the for her tweet. But let's see if she gets there.
Other black politicians in the House side, as well as Hakeem Jeffries. To my knowledge, I don't understand what is so corporate about them, because they get PAC money. But
that is why there's so much depression on leftists. I mean, it's like you guys are watching these videos. This is a video that I've just grabbed randomly in the trending part of Twitter leftism. There is nothing. Is it because he takes money from corporate PACs? This is not good content. It's not a good question. Who cares about all this?
But isn't Bernie Sanders a corporate shill because he gets PAC money from Our Revolution and other places? Last time I checked, he has three houses.
That is not fascinating at all.
All in Vermont, the last time I checked. Or maybe two in Vermont and one in DC. I don't know, but he got three houses from what I heard. But he believes in socialism. That's not socialism.
Okay, well, I actually thought that this was a commentary on the tweet, but let's get through the commentaries on the tweet that I've also found. But somehow there's this massive attack against Anna Kasparian, and this girl was taking different issues. She was taking issues with treatment of black Democrats. Riley Gaines, Zinnia Jones was taking issues with the tweet itself. Riley Gaines is anti-trans and is bullshit generally, and that's just one of the really good reasons for Anna Kasparian to delete this tweet. So basically, this person, Zinnia Jones, standing for the kidnapping of Riley Gaines because she's a bad person. So Anna Kasparian should just shut up. Another leftist: I'm tired of white people like Anna Kasparian whitewashing the civil rights movement to make it seem less radical and revolutionary. I'm sick. So basically, this person is standing with DK Shadow. This person is saying, no, we were kidnapping people back in the days. The civil rights movement was not a clean movement. Oh my God, that is a degree of far leftism, my friend. I'm sick of white people like Anna weaponizing the civil rights movement to shame the trans people for demanding equality. Miss me with this bullshit. So basically, Anna Kasparian saying, hey, perhaps we shouldn't be too aggressive. Perhaps we should be more idealistic and make our arguments. No, that is shaming trans people. Doe says, people like Anna Kasparian should be viewed as case studies in how genocidal movements get well-meaning liberals to turn against the targets of genocidal violence. So, here to be clear, the genocidal violence that they're talking about is the genocide against trans people, which somehow we are asked to believe is happening. So Anna Kasparian is an example of people who, through tweets like this, by not allowing the kidnapping of the genociders, which is here Riley Gaines for arguing about women's sport and protecting women's sport from men, somehow they are participating to a genocide, the genocide against trans people. That is what I had to review. So all in all, with this story, I think that Anna Kasparian is an illustration of what I've been predicting for years, that we had reached trans peak, that eventually some of the mainstream Democrats would get tired at having to carry the civil rights fight, and that is for a very, very small minority, ultimately, the people who fall for this trans modern view of trans LGBT activism, that it's not a viable political movement when you carry all of the right wing opposition that will come in response to this, to this kind of attempt at promoting LGBT radicalism in the youth. And so we have the beginning of the clash here, the beginning of the clash that will eventually turn the left toward away from the trans issue, and eventually we'll reach a world in which no one really talks about the trans stuff. Aquanaut says, trans fatigue, African fatigue, feminism fatigue. Exactly. They've been overdoing it. And DK Shadows says, fatigue, fatigue. Well, I will outdo you, DK Shadow. Fatigue, fatigue, fatigue. What about three levels of it? Does that wreck your mind? Keemstar was criticizing iDubbbz, saying, I need other people to donate money so I look like a good guy. So I believe he's taking issue with iDubbbz' moral displays of, you know, here I am giving money to charity, doing all this crazy stuff to give all that money to charity. Keemstar is saying it's the nonstop moral grandstanding from iDubbbz and his wife that's pissing me off. Mr. Beast has raised way more money for charity and done way more good in this world, and he never comes across like he's acting like he's better than everyone else's because of it. iDubbbz and his wife fully 1,000% believe they are better than you and me because they're... their fan are donating to charity that they suggested. This is clown behavior. Aquanaut says, iDubbbz is pathetically trying to cock for his past edgy behavior. Sad. Okay, I don't understand the conflict here. People trying for charity. I personally never do charity stuff. I never do, you know, organize these streams that will go to charity, because I consider that charity is parasitism and that the world would be better if people had no expectation of charity. Because if you develop charity, you develop dependence. You develop people who expect to be paid for doing nothing, basically. Nothing that people want, nothing that people can pay for. So I don't understand why they're going at each other for this useless charity thing. So Bud Light is trying to rehabilitate himself, themselves with man backyard grunts ad. So that is the megalomaniac plan of Bud Light to be forgiven for pushing the trans issue. It's not going to be enough, bro. It's not going to be enough. And apparently, the ad is getting extremely disliked on YouTube. Only 321 likes. That is very little likes. And then YouTube is now censoring the dislikes. But, you know, just, oh yeah, we're going to respect males for 16 seconds. And we're going to care about the fact that males are exhausted, and when they sit, they emit a groan. That should undo all of the trans propaganda we've been pushing. Nah, it's not good. And it's kind of trying to mock malehood in a way. Someone asks for the link. Here it is, the link to this ad. You know, there is no other way to get forgiven for Bud Light than to really do an apology. Not a, oh, well, we understand it's a hot topic. And not a half apology, not a one quarter apology. They have to say something quite radical. They have to say something that they're probably not willing to say. They would have to say something like, we hadn't understood how our ad was participating to pushing IDs on people's children that are toxic to their mind, and we didn't want to do this, and we apologize for doing it. But the problem is, a big corporation will basically will have big difficulty saying this. They could have legal repercussions. They could have trans employees that sue them for the statement. So they're really in a situation they cannot fix. Heritage Minister from Canada announces that the Canadian government is suspending its advertising on Facebook and Instagram while accusing Meta of being unreasonable and irresponsible for blocking news content in Canada. Well, there you go. Canada, you're not important enough, and you tried to exert arbitrary power of the state. You tried to say to these corporations, Meta and Google, we're going to force our Canadian rules on you, and you're going to have to pay by the link to fund our journalism. And now that they're getting mocked. I mean, you're not important enough for these corporations to care about submitting themselves to such rules. You're trying to dictate what free corporations are doing, that are bringing free services mostly to people, and you're trying to get into their business. It's none of your business. You tried to impose a form of government control onto handling of news content outside of the free market, controlled by the strength of the government, by the force of government. You failed because they called your bluff, and now they're like, all right, you're never going to see a link again to Canadian content on Facebook, Meta, whatever platform, Google. I'm so happy about it because I don't need government force to impose, to have big viewer counts on my shows. I just need to be interesting. I just need to publish those Twitter clips that people love and share, and I get more exposure. You guys are trying to use force, and you're failing. So that is it. That is it for tonight. Lauren Chen has been blocked by Blair White. Well, yeah, there is this tension. There is this tension between, you know, Lauren Chen, the example of a race, an Asian, I believe she's half Asian, but she is, most importantly, she is a reproductive female, you know, having babies. She is producing babies. And then you have Blair White, which is the display of the same kind of body, the same kind of looks, but it's just the display. She is not a reproductive female. And I believe that this tension has led Blair White to realize there is something that Lauren Chen has that I can never have, no matter the amount of surgery. And it's a functional uterus. Thank you.